Hey mom, does this sound familiar? You encourage your daughter to read her Bible and she says something like,
Mom, I don't get it.
It's so boring.
I don't have time, Mom. We get it. Sometimes getting her to love God's word seems impossible.
That's exactly why we created the True Girl Pop-Up Party Weekend for you.
It's a whole weekend designed to break through those barriers. Friday night kicks it off with worship and a Bible teaching to put you in the driver's seat of the conversation.
Saturday morning, you'll dive into God's Word together in a mom-daughter workshop, and she'll learn the 4Z method of Bible study created for girls her age.
It's fun and it's faith building. You'll worship together, you'll learn together, and mom, you'll leave ready to build her faith like never before.
I'm Dana Gresh.
And I'm Shani McKenzie. And we want to hang with you.
We're coming to California, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. We'd love to see you at the True Girl Pop-Up Party. Hey, friend, I want you to know this podcast is produced by Pure Freedom. That's the umbrella organization, the 501c3 of True Girl and Born to Be Brave. And I got to tell you, it's only possible thanks to the generosity of our Freedom Partners. That's what we call friends of the ministry who give monthly and who pray for us. Friends like Tabitha, Courtney, and Anne. Yes, I know your names because we pray for you too. I want to ask, if you're not a Freedom Partner, would you consider becoming a Pure Freedom, True Girl, Born to Be Brave Freedom Partner? This month, we have a special way to say thank you if you join us. We'll send you the world's most amazing 40-ounce stainless steel Freedom Partner water tumbler. That's a mouthful. Every time you sip, I'm hoping you'll be reminded to pray for our mission to plant biblical truth into the next generation. We're going to add a link in the show notes to our Freedom Partners page.
Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a little, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters, because motherhood is hard. But guess what? You are not alone. I'm Shani McKenzie, and I'll be joined by my friend Dana Gresh.
Let's face it, life has a way of throwing us into the deep end. I mean, it could be the flu sweeping through your house again, the weight of financial strain, or the heartbreak of watching your child struggle with a learning disability. In those moments, it's easy to wonder, will God really come through for me? But Psalm 30 reminds us to proclaim His deliverance even before we see it and then long after it comes. So how do we stay in a posture of faith, believing for God's rescue even when the storm rages? Let's talk about it in today's True Girl Momcast. Shani and I are gonna chat this one through with you. All right, Shani, let's get right to the word, Psalm 30. We are readying ourselves to use it for our summer Holy Girl Walk that started just a few days ago. It's not too late for you to join us. When I was preparing for this and writing all the content for it, it was just so rich. God has met me in this psalm. He's going to meet you in this psalm. It is the testimony of a tested man. And I got to say, sometimes God delivers us from hardship, but other times I truly believe He delivers us through it. I mean, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace, right? God did not deliver them from the fire, but through it. They had to stand strong in the flames. Now, thankfully, they weren't alone there. You remember how the story goes. God Himself was with them in that horrible place. Daniel chapter 3 reports that God was walking in the midst of the fire with them. I mean, imagine that. Now, recently, I've kind of been in my own proverbial fire, right? For like 10 months now, God has just chosen to allow testings in my life. And here in the fire, I want to walk with God. And so I searched for a psalm that could teach me how to relate to God in the middle of my hardships, and I discovered this gem, Psalm 30. It has a theme of deliverance. It has a theme of restoring faith and hope, and it's done that for many battle-worn souls. This chapter of the Bible is the tutor you need to teach you how to relate to God in the middle of the test. And as moms, we got to learn this skill because our kids are watching. They're learning from us when everything is falling apart. They're looking to see if anyone is holding us together. And as we walk through Psalm 30 this June for the third season of the True Girl Holy Walk, a Holy Girl Walk, we're going to explore themes like healing, rescuing from near-death experiences. Okay, that sounds dramatic, but that's what we're going to study. Facing enemies, facing opposition in your life, and we're going to discover the journey from pride to humility. This psalm is just a full-on invitation for us to declare his deliverance in every way in our own lives. Shani, let's go ahead. Read Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5. This is kind of the thesis of the chapter.
Sure. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning.
There you go. That's a familiar verse, right?
Oh,
like,
yes.
We have heard that. Weeping may last for night, but joy comes in the morning. Mm-hmm. But you see, the context is in there. It's hardship.
Yeah.
The context is the weeping in the dark, the pain. Shani, have you ever had a season like that in your life where there's a lot of weeping in the dark?
No, never. Never. Yeah, actually, it makes me think about when we moved here. I mean, I didn't realize until we got here that it was really like a time for us to grieve. And like, and God gave us permission to do that.
Moving is hard.
It's hard. I mean, my kids were born in Virginia, like the church that we loved, that my husband worked for, that we had deep roots in our village and 15 years, you know, like built a life. And then God said, hey, come on back. And, you know, it's that juxtaposition between God, yes, I want to be obedient to you. I told you I'll say yes no matter what it is. And then that thing is... it's tested.
And it's hard on our kids. You know, when we lived in the Midwest for 10 years.
Yeah.
So when we moved back to State College, Pennsylvania, my hometown, my son was about 10 years old. Right. And I kept telling people, they'd say, hey, you know, they didn't know me. They didn't know that I grew up here. I'd be like, well, this is home. Mm-hmm. And my son, 10-year-old son, would be like, it's not my home.
Yeah.
It's not my home. I want to make it really clear. This does not feel like home.
Oh, every week I think we'd get... okay, we're going back to, when are we going back to, you know?
And it hurts.
Yeah, and to allow them to be able to have that. I mean, we would cry and we would, you know, miss friends and, you know, miss all the things and still stream our old church, you know?
Yep.
And I remember one time, we were talking about something and my father-in-law was there and I said, oh, well, when we go back home, because we were going to go visit Virginia, and my father-in-law looked at me, and if you know my dad, like he's such a mild, mannered, he's
dignity,
integrity.
Suit.
He's an awesome man. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me, he said, honey, this is home. This is home. And it was like conviction. And I was like, is this conviction of the Pastor Harold McKenzie spirit or the Holy Spirit? And it was the Holy Spirit, just being able to grieve that, I think, was so important. Because you think of grief associated with death and all those other things. It's when you lose something, when something changes, you can grieve that. And there was a lot of grieving during that time.
I mentioned at the open that I've been in kind of a grief of my own with Bob getting long COVID. Mm. And it was one of those things that came, you know, he had COVID in May a year ago. So it's been about 1 year we've been battling this. Mm-hmm. And he went into bed and he just really never got out for months. Mm-hmm. And the main thing was, this is happening with a lot of people, he couldn't sleep. Mm-hmm. So for a month or two or three, sleeping a few hours a day, he just was tired. He was a little cranky. Mm-hmm. Then he got a lot cranky. Then he got really cranky. And then his brain stopped working. And he was losing memory function. And, like, it was a weird grief because it happened so... it was like a frog in a pot of boiling water.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. What in the world is happening? And then there just were a lot of things associated with that grief. He couldn't show up at work, so I was not doing some of the parts of my job that I love so that I could do some of his parts of his job that he couldn't do, that I'm not that great at. And
you're awesome.
It just was one. I had a daughter that went through a great loss in the middle of that. I had a horse injured, and I lost that horse, a companion, a friend. So, you know, that those are griefs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not just death.
It's not.
There are other things that God wants us to slow down and grieve. So go ahead, Shani, and read that first line again. What are we supposed to do in the darkness? What are we supposed to do when we're weeping?
Dana, the word says that we're supposed to sing to the Lord, all of us, all you godly ones, praise his holy name.
Yeah. Yep. So that is a hard thing to do in the weeping, to sing and praise his name.
Yeah.
When your heart is breaking, when you're lonely for the friends that you moved away from, when your husband is not well and you're not sure how well he will be.
Yeah.
When this is over. And, you know, when I was studying Psalm 30, this was back in February, I was getting ready for the Holy Girl Walk this month. And it became very apparent that the kindest thing to do was to release my horse from his pain. And I remember I was like, okay, I made the plans with my friend to help me. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, okay, Lord, please tell me I'm making the right decision here. And I went out and Trigg was on the ground, which was such a blessing to me. I mean, he had been standing for 2 weeks. So that was miraculous and it felt like a miracle. And so I wanted to lean into that, but I sensed the Lord through so many ways telling me, no, I need you to let him, it's a kind thing to let him go. So he was down. The good thing about him being down was when he was up, he had been working so hard to stand that his muscles were shaking and he was like sweaty. Yeah. So now he had obviously been down for much of the night because he was dry. He was himself, like his personality was there. And I thought, okay, this makes it harder and easier all at the same time.
Right.
And I just thought, okay, what do I do? And I just, Shani, I just laid down on that horse and I sang songs to the Lord for like 2 hours. And I just praised his name in the pain because I was like, this is what we do when we hurt. When we know Jesus, we can believe this horrible pain, this loneliness, this sadness, this goodbye. It's going to be a shadow one day when I'm in his presence and I see his face. And I don't know how it works. When we get to heaven, like, is he like just all of that? The Bible calls all of our pain a former thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that it didn't exist, but is his presence so glorious that we can't remember that, that we forget it? I don't know how it works, but I know it's true. And that's why when we're in the middle of the darkest of dark things, we sing. And so that's what I did in my barn with my horse for 2 hours. I just sang praise to his name over and over and over again. Do you remember a time when you did that, Shani?
I remember times. Like, it's family altar is big in our house, and we love actually singing. And so, like, we would blast worship music. And whether we were just gathering in the living room or if it's a Saturday morning and we're cleaning, that's what we're playing. And I remember a specific time, and we were actually still living with my in-laws, which was another thing, because when we got here, we didn't find a house right away. And so that was literally me in a room like, God, what is happening? And I remember this one time we gathered in the living room and just, I was crying, my older girl was crying, and we just sang. We just sang to the Lord. And when we talked later, it was like, did you feel like the lifting?
Yes.
Like, you know, it's like when you go into the prayer closet and you come out different. The situation is still the same.
Yep.
But you come out different because you've been with him, because you've cried out to him, because you've literally like laid it as we, like, God, I, you know, you get to that end and it's like, oh, wow.
And that singing in those circumstances is not, it's not a happy singing, but it's a joyful singing.
Yes.
It is a...
There's a difference.
Yeah. It's not like it erupts out of you. It's an obedience, right?
Yes. It is obedience.
You know, I wonder if Paul and Silas, we have this vision of them sitting in their jail chains.
Right.
And we're just like, oh, they're just happy. God. No. What if they were like, we may never leave this place.
Yes.
What if they were crying for their loved ones and their family members? Like, were they wondering what their moms were going to think when they heard about their bodies being picked up out of a jail? Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
But they sang.
They sang.
And we cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
If the promise wasn't right here in Scripture, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It comes. Shani, I'm still in my hardship. I'm still depending on the Lord to come through for my husband's healing.
Yes.
We've seen, I would say, 60% healing, right? But I don't have 100% of my pre-long COVID husband back yet. I have 60%. And every day is better. Every day. But it's anybody who's had a long, hard road of healing knows how discouraging it can be. The joy is still coming, it's coming. It has not come yet.
Yes.
But I've had times when it has arrived in the past.
Yeah.
So I can rely on that, and I believe it's coming. How did your weeping season end up? Tell me.
There were so many things that can make me like just testify to his goodness. In large part, it was watching my children almost get it before I did. You know, and just... You know, I had a daughter struggling with anxiety since we were in Virginia. When we got here, I was like, okay, God, is this going to get worse? But just being here, like, God ministered to her. And, you know, she's free of that now.
Praise the Lord.
And I know that is in part because we're here. You know, like, all of the swirl around us in Virginia, I don't think, you know, well, God can do anything. But I know, like, he did it.
This was his plan. Yep.
It definitely was his plan. And now, in a couple months, we're going to become, you know, my husband's going to become lead pastor at our church. My father-in-law was previous pastor there. And that was not in our plans at all.
I am so excited that it's in the Lord's
plan. God
plans.
Bless you. I wasn't at
the
first.
The First Lady, Shani McKenzie.
Don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's I honestly wasn't. You know, I was grieving when I found out that. I was like, oh, that means we're here.
Frankly, you came from a pretty big church.
Yeah.
With a pretty big budget and a pretty big congregation and a pretty big city.
Yeah.
And the Lord called you to come back to a thriving, I mean, really, in our community. Pastor Harold McKenzie is so respected as a pastor of the community.
I love him.
Like, it is one of the most, but in terms of size, in terms of the size of the community and size of
it's just
everything
different,
right?
It's just different here. And it's, you know, we were trying to make, we're making it home. And then it's like, also, oh, you're really going to make it home, you know? And pastoring just in general, it's like, I don't say it's something we've ever desired, you know, like, but knowing you're called to something is completely different and how God just laid that journey out. And so, but our kids look at us and they're like, duh, you can see God. Like, I was like, well, was he blind and made us some things out
of
the mouths
of
babes?
Sometimes our kids see it first. I do.
It's like, gotcha.
I think they do.
Yeah.
You know, this is probably an appropriate time. So a big joy is that you're seeing where your husband's position, what the Lord was calling your husband to do, and that is producing joy.
Yeah.
But also, I think this is a really appropriate time to tell our story about how you ended up a True Girl. I want to testify about that.
I did it.
Like, I was in need of another team member. I was praying for someone. And something that's always been really important to me from day one of True Girl is diversity. Diversity in every way, shape, and form. Diversity of age and stage, diversity of size and appearance and personality and style, diversity of denomination, diversity of color and ethnicity. And so when I was looking for this person, I had reached out to Harold McKenzie again and said, hey, I'm looking for someone. Diversity matters to me. Anyone over at your church? And I don't know that I can't remember if I heard back from him or not. Maybe frequently through the years he's written back to me or his assistant has. And I just woke up so discouraged one morning and I was like, Lord, you're not sending me anybody. And I'm discouraged and I'm lonely and this work is hard. And are you not sending someone? And I just kind of got this like backbone in my back. And I was like, I thought of Pastor Harold McKenzie again. And the name, the church name is Unity. So I was like, I just stood up tall and I said, Lord Jesus Christ, in your name, give me the heart of unity. And then I went about my day.
Kind of went about it.
So I go to breakfast with a friend who was in from out of town. She's a mutual friend of ours.
We love her.
Stephanie Peters. And I said, Stephanie Martinez, right? She's married now. I was like, she's like, before we talk, I need to ask you something. I feel like there's someone who just moved home just moved here from Washington, D.C. that you need mm-hmm. to meet. Her name is Shani McKenzie. And I just feel like you need to meet her. And I was like, okay, put it on the to-do list of all the things that I need to do this week, this month. And she's like, do you know who she is? And I'm like, no. She's like, have you never heard that name? I'm like, no. She's like, she's Pastor Harold McKenzie's daughter-in-law. And I was like, the heart of unity.
When God does it.
And what was your perspective of that?
Well, I mean, I actually, the reason I knew Steph, we would lead worship together on occasion. And we led worship at an event that Dana spoke at more than 20 years ago now. And that day, I looked at my husband and I said, I want to do what she's doing. She's preaching the unadulterated word of God to these women. At the time, it was a women's event. And I was like, and she's doing it, you know, no holds barred. She's engaging. That's what I want to do. And then a few months later, we moved to Virginia. He was the only person I said it to. I didn't even know Steph knew Dana. I just thought she was asked to lead worship at the event. And Dana became something of a silent mentor, I like to say. I would use her materials over the years with our girls' ministry in Virginia. And then when we got here, I found out that she's based in State College. I actually didn't know that because the event was in a whole nother city. And I was like, huh, well, that's interesting. And my husband kept saying, well, why don't you just go up to the office and, you know, like avail yourself if they need. And I was like, that's awkward. You know, who does that? And then Steph came into town for a conference and we met. And I was like, you know what's so crazy? That woman we led worship, you know, for that event, she's based here. She was like, Shani, I was her worship leader for years. Like, I was like, what? But it also speaks to God's timing.
Yeah.
If I would have known that then,
yeah,
I wouldn't have been ready.
Yeah.
You know, like at that time to do what God's calling me to do now.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm like, God, you're sovereign. And and look at this.
You are an absolute joy. It is my delight to work beside you. That grief, you know, it wasn't a big grief, but it was a small grief. The burden of carrying the ministry was lifted. Mm. We've got to be women who live as if we believe the joy is coming.
Yeah.
So that's how we got to live.
Lord, where's this morning?
We can't live in the middle of the weeping.
The morning is coming.
It's okay to weep. We're not saying don't weep.
Yeah. And I mean, when I say the morning is coming, I mean the M-O-R, not the M-O-U-R.
Right.
That morning is coming. It says weeping endures for a night.
Morning. Yeah. And until you get to the morning where the joy is present, rest peacefully in this truth. Jesus is with you in the darkness.
Mm.
Whether it's sick kids or broken finances or loneliness because you've moved your kids halfway across the country or just everyday stress. Let me read Isaiah 43, 1-2. I just love this one. So rich. What a treasure. It reads, but now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. He is with you in that.
Mom, I want you to know, you might feel in over your head right now, but he's in those deep waters with you. You might feel that heat of that fire, but he will not let it burn you.
Mm.
You think about those three Hebrew boys. It was hot in there.
Yes.
I mean, it says like the soldiers that took him in there, or the guards that took him in there, they were falling dead.
That's
right. But you know what it did? It burned the ropes that were on their wrists. It did that, but it didn't touch them. They didn't even smell like it.
Mm.
I
feel like we should just pray. Lord Jesus, I just lift up to you our friend who's listening. You see her. You see her tears. There's not a moment of darkness that you're not seated next to her. Whatever that darkness is, Lord Jesus, please give her a song to sing.
Lord, I just thank you that you are the all-consuming fire, Father, and that we can rest in that, that we can be assured that joy comes in the morning. Father, when it seems like the weeping is just going to break us, Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit steps in and reminds us that you have us in your hands. And God, I bless you. I bless you that you are the joy. And Lord, as our morning tries to be persistent, Father, let us just come to you, Lord, with our tears, Lord God, in our grief, and sing praises, Lord God, and worship you, Father. And Lord, and we just thank you for your presence just washing over us, and keeping us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, I want to invite you to do the Holy Girl Walk with us. It's one thing to hear God's scripture, and it's another thing to hear testimonies of how it's affected other people. It's an entirely different level of experiencing the presence of Christ in your darkness and in your hard stuff when you meditate on that scripture. So I want to invite you to do that. The Holy Girl Walk is completely free. Just follow True Girl and Dana Gresh on social media, and we will give you all the tools you need. I also have a podcast every day. I'll start your walking out with like 3 to 5 minutes of encouragement as you meditate on the verse of the day. All of that is free. But if you want to go a little bit deeper, I have written a workbook on the Holy Girl Walk, Psalm 30. It's called Proclaim His Deliverance. So you can learn more about that at mytruegirl.com. You can subscribe to the Holy Girl podcast anywhere you like to listen to podcasts. And this month, subscribe to the True Girl podcast for you and your daughter. We've created some episodes, one a week, just for her so that she can join in on memorizing Psalm 30. I really want you to participate in this with us. It is the place where you get the deep roots of your faith built up. The Holy Girl Walk. Learn more about it at mytruegirl.com.
Moms, we want to invite you to our pop-up party. We are bringing this pop-up party all across this great nation. We will be in Wisconsin, State College, Pennsylvania. We'll be in Houston, Texas, and we're coming all the way out to California. And we have the sole purpose of bringing you and your daughter God's truth. We want you all to be able to dig into the Word, one weekend of getting into the Word and learning God's truth and learning how to study your Word. Because what we're hearing is that our girls, even if they want to get into the Bible, they don't know how. And so moms, we're going to take one weekend and give your girls a love for her word. Using the True Girl 4Z method of Bible study, it is an inductive method of Bible study where your girl will learn how to zoom in, zoom out, zero in, and zip it up as she is reading her scripture. We want her to get that word deep in her heart. So join us. You can go to mytruegirl.com to learn about all the locations. And also, if you join us here in State College, Pennsylvania, we have a special little something on our add-on, and it is Dana's Farm. So you get to go and visit her goats and her donkeys and the peacock and all of that. And you get to see, most importantly, the wonder of God's creation at work. We hope to see you there. If you're planning to join us for the Holy Girl Walk, we've got something special to help your daughter enjoy every step of the journey. It's your last chance to get the True Girl Wellness Box. And at the heart of it is the Holy Girl Walk Map, created to guide her as she walks and memorizes Psalm 30 with you. The box also includes fun fitness tools like a water bottle and jump rope, plus daily devotionals to help her discover what God's Word says about her body and why it matters. Subscribe today at mytruegirl.com to get your box just in time for summer and our official Holy Girl Walk starting June 2nd.